in this service who feel this way. If Brother Hiles says it, then you believe it. Not all of you are that way, but some of you are. You love me and you have confidence in me, and that doesn't mean that you don't believe everything I say, you don't love me. But there are some people here who feel that if Brother Hiles says it, that you're going to believe it. There are others who at other times have arrived at the same convictions and beliefs that Brother Hiles has. And you agree with me on basically everything that is preached from this pulpit. But you do not believe it because I said it. You believe it because you came to the conviction or belief on your own, and you agree with me. And that's one reason you come to church here, because you want to come to a church where the preacher preaches what you believe. Not only are there those two groups, those who believe it because the preacher says it, and those who believe what the preacher believes because you at some aforementioned time have come to this same position that I have. But there are some this morning, and no small group it is, who believe in the standards preached from this pulpit, yet you have not grown to practice them. For example, you believe in tithing, but you don't tithe. You believe in soul winning, but you don't go soul winning. You believe in being separate from the world, but you have not yet arrived at a position where you can adhere or practice the principles and standards preached from this pulpit. Are you listening? There is a fourth group, not only the group that believes it because I say it, and secondly, the group that believes it because you have come to this position on your own and you agree with me. And the third group, the group of people who believe in the standards preached in this pulpit, but you have not yet grown in grace to the position where you practice them, or for some other reason, perhaps, you're not practicing them. There's a fourth group I'd like to call to your attention, and that group is composed of those who do not share all that is preached from this pulpit and do not live by those standards. There are many of you this morning in this room who do not believe all the things I preach. There is something that I preach that with which you do not agree. And by the way, the last two groups will be the subject or the object of my preaching and the subject of my message this morning. I want to speak to those of you who either do not do what you believe that you should do, and you are not in the group that believes because Hiles says that it's true, and you're not in the group that believes what I believe in every case, I'd like to address myself to you and in some areas this morning speak about you. I'm talking about those of you that do not think or do not do all that I think you should. You do some things also that I think you shouldn't. You have often felt the hot breath of my sermons. And to be quite frank, maybe even sometimes you feel out of place here in this church. For your convictions are not all exactly like my convictions. And your practice is not like what I preach. It may be that your hair, you're a man, and your hair is longer than I wish it were. Or it may be that you are are giving less than I wish you would give. Or it may be that you're a lady and you don't dress exactly as I think you ought to dress. And when I see you on the street sometimes and you see me, you might blush a bit because you're not dressed the way that I would prefer you to be dressed. Or perhaps your soul winning is not what I think it ought to be. Maybe you do not go soul winning. Maybe you're a little weary yourself of all these First Baptist Church folks bothering folks around town and collaring folks on street corners and bus stations and airports. And it may be that you yourself are not a soul winner, though I wish you were. Or it may be. It may be that your children do not attend a Christian school. You have no doubt of what I believe about that. I have my convictions as deep-rooted as my soul about Christian school movements and the government-owned schools, and you know what they are. But you don't believe that, or you can't afford it, or you don't believe that you do not attach to it the same degree of importance which I attach to going to a Christian school. And your children do not go to the Hammond Baptist grade school or Hammond Baptist junior high school or Hammond Baptist high school or City Baptist high school or Howells Anderson College, it may be, unless you attend a state university. Now, you know what I believe about that, but you don't agree with me, perhaps. And maybe your child goes to a school that I wouldn't have my kid found dead in. Or maybe you don't say grace in public. Maybe you think that's showing off and it's embarrassing. And you don't say grace in public. Or perhaps somebody may be here who's a little bit who's a little bit angry at me. Now, why anybody could get angry at a wonderful first person like me is more than I could understand. Gentle and kind and non-controversial. And occasionally, in some moment of weakness, my convictions may leak out. It may be that somebody here perhaps is a little bit peeved at Brother Hyams. Maybe you tried to see him and 40 others were there at the same time. And you thought he should have dropped what he was doing and seen you. I want to talk this morning to you people. I'd like to address the first two groups just for a minute. I'd like to leave you folks, the last two groups, those that do not practice what I believe, or those that do not perhaps even believe what I believe. I'd like to say a few words to those of you that are, maybe you're the Hyles worshiper. You heard about that. And maybe so you're the one of the ones they call the Hyles worshiper. If Hyles says it is true. And if you're in that group, or if you're in the group that does not believe it because I say it, but you believe what I preach, and you are sold on what I say, and you believe our principles, and believe our doctrine, and believe our standards, I'd like to say to you, our treatment of the last two groups often is a worse sin than the sins committed by these people themselves. Our attitude toward those who do not believe what we believe exactly. An attitude about men who have long hair can be a greater sin than wearing long hair. Did you know a bad spirit about a lady who wears clothes that are immodest could be a greater sin than wearing clothes that are immodest? So I want to say to you first, too, you people that are with me all the way, I want to say to you, Jesus said that he is like the shepherd that takes the little lambs and holds those near his bosom. He takes the weak one in his arms and puts those near his bosom. Can you see a shepherd leading his flock down the side of a hill? And those sheep that are strong are following the shepherd, and they are walking along behind him. But there is a little weak lamb, and that little weak lamb is lifted up by the arm of the shepherd. And underneath his garment, or underneath his arm, he holds the little weak lamb next to his bosom. If I understand this Bible correctly, those that are the weak ones are to receive the most attention. And those who are the weak ones are to receive the most love. And those who are the weak ones are to receive the most gentle treatment. And I'm afraid sometimes somebody comes into our church and because he's not dressed like we think he ought to dress, we ourselves put our phylacteries around us and become pharisaical in our behavior. And as far as I'm concerned, we become guilty of a worse sin than he's committing. Now, I want to say a few words this morning to those of you who, you're here, you like me, but every once in a while when I have some tirade on a Sunday morning or Sunday night, and you just, we should get off that. I'll tell you, there was a sick and tired of one preacher preaching on one thing for long in my life. Well, the reason I preach on one thing a great deal, it'd be studying, and but you say, my soul, there he goes again. I don't know why in the world he has to get on. I want to talk to you this morning. To those of you that do not practice all that I preach or not believe all that I preach, listen carefully. I want to say several things to you. The first thing I want to say is your mind. Did you hear me? I said your mind. You're as much mine as those who believe all I believe. You're as much mine as those who practice all I practice. You're mine. You're my people. And I'm proud you're my people. In the meal I had with the seniors this year, I had a meal with a little banquet I gave myself, and I and all the senior girls were together. After that, I and all the senior boys got together for a little rap session. Right beside me was a young man who had long hair. Brother Lively, his hair was down like this. Covered his ear and came down on his neck. Now, he was one of our boys. He sat beside me. He got the same treatment the fellows got that had the short hair.
He did not attend Hammond Baptist High School. He was graduating from a public school. Now, you know what I think about that, and you know what I think about the long hair. But I want to say this morning, if you're a man in this room, and when you walk down the aisle, you step on your hair, if you belong to this church, you belong to me, and you're mine, and I am for you, and I'm proud to call you my people. I'm not here to rejoice every Sunday morning in the fact that we have a bunch of perfect people to demonstrate our perfection. This is no museum where we display perfect relics. This is a spiritual clinic and hospital. We come to get strength. And the fact that you're not as full grown as somebody else does not mean that you're less the object of my love. The truth is, you may be more the object of my love than others. For the Lord Jesus said He carries not the sheep in His bosom, He carries the lamb in His bosom. There was a shepherd who had a healthy flock, the healthiest of all the flocks. And somebody came one day and asked him, "Why is your flock so healthy?" And this shepherd said, "I think it's because I give principal attention to the lamb." And if you let me say this, I do not believe there's a healthier group of Christian people in America or in the world than you'll find in this room right here this morning. I don't believe you'll find more soul winners in one room in America than you'll find right here this morning. But somebody said to the house, "Why is your church, why is it like it is?" I'll tell you why it is. Because I give principal attention to the lamb. I'm saying, you're mine. I'm your preacher. You're my people. I took you for better or for worse. I took you for long hair or for short hair. I took you for skirt or for pants. And you're mine. Now, I wish you'd do what I say. And I think you'd be a lot better off if you do what I say. You'd enjoy the sermons, I know, a lot better if you do what I say. But I mean, if you don't, okay, you're my people. Second thing I want to say about that is, I love you. Oh, you say, "Boy, I'm glad you're loving me. I've been getting it all these years." One fellow walked up to me one day and said, "Brother House, I heard a preacher preach the other day, preached on heaven." He said, "What is that?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Heaven." He said, "H-E-A-V-E-N. This preacher preached about it." He said, "What is it?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" "Why," he said, "I've been coming to church here 15 years, and all I've gotten is hell here in this church. I want to know what this heaven place is." Now, this morning, I'd like to say a few good words for you that don't practice what I preach. I'm saying, God gave me a love for you. Does the shepherd love most the sheep that is weak, or love most the sheep that is strong? Does the doctor give most attention to the one who's the sickest, or the one who has the most robust health? Does the barber give attention to the one who has the long, shaggy hair, or the one who has a freshly shaved head of hair? Does the mechanic give the most attention to the car that's running smoothly, or the car that's sputtering on two cylinders? I'm saying, the truth is, our Heavenly Father gives extra attention and extra love to those of you who have not yet attained the spiritual growth that perhaps some of the others of you have, and woe be to God's people who, because I don't, and I do not, and this I don't do, I woe be to us who do not have a tender, compassionate, understanding love toward those who have not yet attained the degree of spiritual perfection that a sanctified folks have attained. I'm saying, I love you. I love you if you step on your hair while you walk down the street. I love you if you not even own a dress. I love you if you only give $1 a week, you skin flint. I love you if you attend a school that I would not approve. I love you if you wear blue eyeshadow all over your face. I love you if you've never one time witnessed a one single sinner. I love you if your clothing reeks with tobacco. I love you. Why? Because you're my people. I'm not here just to get up and say, "Thank God for those of us who walk a straight line." And no, sir. I'm here to say, those of you perhaps who are not quite as strong, maybe you deserve the most attention. And young people, listen to me. No talking, please, on the front. No talking. Listen to me. I've got something to say to you I want you to hear. I'm saying, I'm not condoning sin. And I'm not changing my convictions, not one iota. I do not believe it's Bible Christianity for those who've attained a certain degree of spiritual growth to be less than gracious and kind, and even a little extra gracious and extra kind to those little lambs that have not yet become as strong as the sheep that follow the shepherd.
Can you see that gentle shepherd? Can you see him as he looks behind him in his pride? He sees that strong flock. But can you see him as he picks up in his arms that little one that's weak? I love the 23rd Psalm. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know what that means? That means sometimes the little lamb would run from the flock. Sometimes the lamb would not stay with the flock. And the shepherd would go out and get the lamb, bring it back, but he wouldn't stay. And the shepherd would go out and bring him back. He'd run off again. And one day the shepherd would take that little leg of the lamb, and he'd gently put it over his knee, and he would crack that little leg over his knee. And now the little lamb couldn't run off. The shepherd didn't do it because he was mad at the lamb. The shepherd did it because he wanted to save the lamb and spare his life, because he loved him. And so he made the lamb to lie down in green pastures. Has the Lord put you in a car wreck and made you to lie down in green pastures? Has the Lord given you some disease that's made you lie down in green pastures? Has the Lord caused you to lose your job and you've had to trust Him a little extra heavy, you are made to lie down in green pastures? May I say this morning to those of you who are not what I wish you were, you're the object of an awful lot of love from this preacher. I love you, and that isn't all. You're welcome here. I said, you're welcome here. I said, if you're a hare, you're a man, and you're a hare, get in your belt buckle. You're welcome here. I say, if you're a lady, and you do not wear what I think you ought to wear, you're welcome here. And I say, if you do not ever go soul winning, never witness to a soul, you're welcome here. I'm simply saying, the lambs that are weak are as welcomed as the sheep that are strong. And you're my people. I long for the day when you can be stronger. I long for the day when you can adhere to the Bible principle. But you're welcome here. You're welcome in this church. You're as welcome as that person that does not that has advanced more and grown more than have you. I may not condone what you do, but you're my people. Remember, Isaiah 42, verse 3, a bruised reed he shall not break. 'Twas the prodigal who had the party. 'Twas the lost sheep whom the shepherd sought. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 'twas the least, most feeble member of the body that received the most attention. You know what got the most of my attention this morning when I got ready for church? Is that a guess? I'd suggest, Brother John, in your face, in the lab of your physique, what do you think got the most attention this morning when I got ready for church? Oh, my hair. Yes, sir. I'll guarantee you. I looked at my hair. One was going this way, and the other was going this way. And so, for every minute, I spent on my face. Of course, I don't need to spend time on this and that. Marvelous, marvelous face. But I spent 5 minutes on my hair. I got every hair in my head is numbered. God numbers them, and so do I. And each one has a particular route it must take and place it must lay. So I put each one exactly where it's supposed to be, and then I don't get in the wind, so because my hair is very thin. The wind will blow it off, and I get it right where I'll be. And then like a hunter about to shoot his prey, I grab that can of men's hairspray, and I spray it away out here. Because if it's too strong, the spray, it'll blow the hair from this place, the allotted place the hair is supposed to be. And as the choir can see, there are some places where no hair is allotted to be. That's what got my attention. I'm not going to, this is just because I haven't got a head of hair like some people. Brother Colson, for example, he's like I am. He just has more on the side to pull over than I do. But underneath that, you ought to see what's underneath that. You think I'm bald now. You should have seen me before I got this toupee. And one of the happiest days in my life was the day that two men got an argument over in Ohio, a pastor and one of the deacons, over whether I had a toupee or not. I was so pleased about that. It was for them to think I'd have a toupee. But if I ever get a toupee, it won't look like this, I'll guarantee you for sure. But just as whatever is the weakest part of the body, as you know, I have a weakness here. And I've doctored that weakness this morning. I didn't slip my throat because my voice didn't work real well. No, I didn't do that. I gave it special attention. And those this morning in this room, it may be that you've gone into sin. It may be that you've shamed your name and you brought reproach against the name of your family. It may be that you sit here this morning away from the shepherd's care. You're not away from the shepherd's love.
You may be away from the shepherd's fold.
You're not away from the shepherd's love. God loves you this morning. Oh, I love that song we sang a while ago. I can never sing it without tears welling up my eyes. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given.
Wonderful love in the Bible, I say.
And this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Was the erring Adam who was sought by God? 'Tis the sick one who draws the doctor's attention. 'Tis the leaky faucet that arrests the plumber's eye. 'Tis the shaggy head the barber loves to see. 'Tis God loves the rosebud as well as He loves the rose, and God loves the lamb as well as He loves the sheep, and God loves the shoot as well as He loves the plant, and God loves the sprig as well as He loves the tree. But you say, Brother Howe, how can you stand up there and say that? I happen to know, preacher, that you were a part of a committee that expelled me from school. I mean, I got in trouble. There you say, I love the sinner. I love the one who doesn't do it all. But I happen to know that you were a part of a committee that expelled me from school.
Oh, yes. Yes. A school has to have rules. And our school will have rules. But I'll guarantee you, when you're expelled from school and I'm a part of it or not, I'll guarantee you one thing. When you walk out that school door ashamed of yourself and disappointed and brokenhearted, I'll guarantee you the first person you're going to find is a pastor with open arms saying, I still love you, and you're still mine, and I still want to help you. I'm not going to cast you aside. I'm not going to give up on you. I've got a list of names on my desk, I pray for every day of my life, a list of men who used to serve on our deacon board. I love our deacons. I love these good men who stayed with me and put up with me through these years. But occasionally, one will go astray. Occasionally, one will be tempted with a tempter and go into sin. I've got a list of names in my drawer. I pray every day for those good men whom I love. And I'm not going to let them go. No, I'm not.
And if you're a teenager here and you've gone in sin, you're out to the disco gang and the hippie crowd. Okay, I wish you weren't. And I warned you and said, don't do that. Don't do it.
But if you do it, you're still my kid. You're still my young'un, and I still love you, and I'll still shake your hand when I see you on the street. May I turn my attention now to the first group. Those of you who've been a little careless about the way you've been treating the lambs or the weak ones in the flock. Let me tell you this kind of story I like. One of our young high school boys went to public school. I wish he hadn't. I wish he'd have gone to Hammond Baptist. And I want to say this. Hammond Baptist, at its worst, is better than any other school in this area at its best. And I want to say this. This boy went to public school, and one day he came back just to visit Hammond Baptist School, high school. He walked inside the chapel, and Brother Lively, young people started getting up, walking up, and saying, man, we're glad to see you. Hey, welcome. Nice to see you. And that young man expected to find some people criticizing him because he didn't meet their standards, maybe, because he'd done some things that they didn't approve. But those students were so friendly, he decided to come back to Hammond Baptist High School. Oh, that makes me proud. Nothing makes me less happy than when I hear somebody else. Now, young people, they criticize somebody that doesn't do what they do, or not the inner circle. Ought not to be any inner circle in the Baptist Church. Ought not to be. Ought to be a circle that's so big in circumference it includes every single person. It includes the lambs as well as the sheep. It includes the weak as well as the strong. It includes the young as well as the old.
It includes the one who hasn't progressed
as much as the one who has progressed. I'll tell you a story. I gave that meal for the seniors. And there was a boy who goes to Hammond Baptist. Went up to one of our young men here who doesn't go to Hammond Baptist. And I want to say this. If you don't go to Hammond Baptist High School, and you remember this church, you're as much my kid as the Hammond Baptist High School kids are. I don't want you to forget that. You're as much mine. You're mine. I love you. You belong to me. I took you for better or for worse. I want you to take me for better or for worse. I'll get up here and scream about what you want to do, but I'll love the fire out of you while I do it. But anyway, one of our young men contacted this young man who goes to another school, public school.
And he said, you're going to go to the banquet where the house is given for the seniors? And he said, oh, no, I don't go to Hammond Baptist. Oh, he said, come on. Come on, go. Brother House wants you.
And Brother House did want him. And
oh, no, I don't go to Hammond Baptist. He wouldn't want... Hey, I'll come by and get you. You can go with me.
And the young lad was so impressed, he said, okay. And he came. And he was treated like everybody else was treated. And he enjoyed it so much. And he got to love his preacher more. And he got to find out his preacher loves him still.
And he got to find out he's one of the boys.
Now, it may be that there were some things he did that they didn't do, but I'll tell you what. It went a long way. A long way. I'm so glad God loves the weak. Sometimes I'm strong. Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. And sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm not happy. I'm glad God loves me when I'm not happy too.
Sometimes I get in the pulpit and, boy, I'll tell you what I preach like I think.
Billy Sunday, we would be embarrassed if he ever heard me preach. And sometimes I get in the pulpit and I think anybody would be embarrassed. My mother would be embarrassed if she heard me preach. But God loves me when I preach bad. And God loves me when I preach good. And God loves me when I'm weak. And God loves me when I'm strong. And if I'm going to have the heart of God, I've got to love you also.
by the way, young folks, listen to me.
Why don't you treat the weaker Christian with the same tenderness you treat the unsaved man?
You go out soul winning. You soul winners. You don't walk up and say, hey, you dirty sinner. Hell's be too good for you. You're going to spit hell wide open. I'll tell you ought to be ashamed of your dirty, wicked, sticking self.
You don't do that. You walk up and you say, how do you do? My name is Jack Hyle. And I'm from First Baptist Church of Hammond. And you have such a nice place here. I like your yard here. And what a nice home. Hey, is this your child? Yes, it is. Hey, you're a cute little boy. Now, why don't you treat Christians who are not what they ought to be like that?
I'll tell you why you don't. You expect every single Christian to, in 30 days, you expect them to grow as much as it took you 20 years to grow. Some of you folks smoke cigarettes 20 years, and you're mad everybody now smokes cigarettes. I don't like cigarettes. I don't smoke cigarettes. I've never smoked a cigarette. I said, Dr. R.G. Lee, if God had sent you a nose to be a stovepipe, you made it out of brick and put it on the top of your head. I'm not for smoking cigarettes. I think it's wrong.
But bless your heart, if I see one of you tomorrow somewhere smoking a cigarette, I'm going to walk up and shake your hand. And you need not think I don't love you.
And you need not think you're not mine.
I hope someday I can preach to her. Maybe you won't smoke anymore. But until you get there, you still belong to me. And I still love you. And you're still mine. Now back to the last group again. I may exhort you because I love you. I may warn you because I love you.
I may even someday scold you because I love you. I may even chasten you
because I love you. But let everybody in this room whose name's on the roll of First Baptist Church be served notice. You are welcome here. And you are somebody here.
And this is your church.
And you are my... I'm your preacher and you are my people. And I hope... In fact, I know. You asked that little girl who last summer, in a moment of weakness, for the first time in her life, gave her body to a young man. She didn't love him. It was all passion, all lust. She found out a few weeks later she was expecting a baby. Her mom and dad and the girl waited outside my office and walked in and told me those words I hate to hear. You ask her if Little Hyle loves the little lamb. You ask her. You ask her for the Hyles cast aside those that don't practice what he preaches. You ask her. I'm a fundamentalist. I dot every fundamental I and it costs every fundamental T. I'm capital F, capital U, capital N, capital Mentalist. I am a fundamentalist. But if fundamentalist means you don't love sinners, count me out. If being a fundamentalist means you're a Pharisee, count me out. I believe a fundamentalist means this. I believe it means that when we see somebody who's drifted a bit, we reach out our arms and say, welcome back. I got a sweet note last week. A little lady and her husband got mad at me. Again, I don't know why. But they got mad at me and left the church. And last Sunday they were back. And I said, lad, And I got a note after the service. And the note said, you're still the greatest preacher in the world. Of course, what's new?
But you're still the greatest preacher in the world. And nobody can preach like you. And nobody's like you. And Brother Hiles is the best.
Thank you, friend. One single lone friend. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See me after service. You and I are going to start a church across the street tonight. But I was so pleased. And I was so glad. Did you know anybody that leaves our church and goes to another fundamental church? I try to contact the preacher and say they're good people. Love them. Anybody gets mad at me? God knows this is true. I don't get mad back. A lady wrote me a letter from out of town the other day.
She said, I visited your church. She said, if I wanted to hear a comedian, I'd go to hear a comedian.
Which is one way to say I'm so humorous. But I wrote back and I said, and if I decide I want some woman to tell me what to preach, I'll write you. But I didn't mail it. I tore it up, put it in the wastebasket. Wish that I mailed it. No, I didn't mail it. Tore it up. You know why you're laughing? Because you said that a lot of times yourself when you get home. But look, folks, I do not claim perfection, nor do I ask you to think I'm always right. I just ask you to do to me what I do to you. Don't quit loving me when I make a mistake. And don't quit praying for me. And take me for better or for worse as I take you. Take these men on the platform. I overlook their faults. Every minute of every day, I overlook their faults. But they're my men, and I love them.
Somebody said one time, Brother Hiles, I bet you'd be hard to work for. I'd have sent you fire folks to drop the hat.
I never have fired anybody in 35 years. I've been disappointed in some. I've had to scold some. But I've never fired anybody. 35 years. If I would fire, I'd start over here and go right down the line. But no. Hey, why? Because I love my sheep. I love my sheep. And you see that shepherd. He's not happy because his little lamb is sick. He's not happy because the lamb's growth has been retarded. He's not happy because the lamb is not as healthy as the ones who fell along behind. But he loves him as much. And you see him reaching down and picking up that little lamb whose growth is retarded. His little leg limps. His little body is small. And can you see him as he puts it next to his breast? That's what the Lord Jesus does. He loves you this morning. And if you're weak, he wants to pull you close to his breast. And if you're not saved, he wants you to come and receive him as Savior. He loves you. Years ago, and I'm through with this, years ago, one of our ships, and I knew the name, I've forgotten, was going down toward Cuba in a naval battle. But some ladies had gotten together and built a pulpit in the shape of a cross for the chapel. And they put it, and oh, it was so beautiful. Beautiful pulpit. And so they put it in the chapel, and the ship was in battle off the Cuban shore. I think it's the Battle of San Diego. And in battle. And so all of a sudden the ship began to sink. It was hit. Began to sink. And they began to throw things overboard that the men could catch on to keep from drowning. And somebody said, let's throw the cross, the pulpit across, overboard. And somebody, oh no, don't throw that away. It's too beautiful. Well, it'll burn or sink. Let's throw it overboard. And they took that cross out of the chapel and threw it overboard. And a cry came from the deck of the ship.
Hold on to the cross! Hold on to the cross! Hold on to the cross!
And that's what I said to you this morning. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilt and stain. If you're here this morning, you've never received Christ, wouldn't you take him as your own today? He'll give you eternal life, forgive your sins, wash them away, make you his child, write your name in heaven, prepare a home in heaven for you. And then if you're here this morning, a member of that second or third or fourth group, weak. Not what I wish you were,
not what God wishes you were.
He loves you. He'll not disown you. I've been singing a couple of days. Oh, yes, I'm one of His own. A child He'll never disown. And that's what you are to me, our Heavenly Father.